I know. That's the name of the day.
We know, I know. So many things that we look up every day. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where every day we look to the internet to do what we can to make today make sense.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, sidekick to Molly Wood. It is What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, our chance to answer your questions as best we possibly can. Also, to turn the volume on my headphones. I don't know how they got so loud. Holy cow. All right, go ahead. I'm ready.
I know, but now I want someone to do a little motorcycle drawing where you're in the sidecar. I'm very charmed by that mental picture right now. All right. As Kai mentioned, it's What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. We're going to answer your questions. We are starting today with the question that we have been trying to get to for a couple of weeks, at least 2 weeks now. Let's hear it. Yeah. Thank you, producers, for putting this one at the top. Here's David in Indiana.
I have a question that goes from politics to technology to the economy. Stay with me here. With the election of President-elect Joe Biden, will he fund the additional green technology research that we need to move towards solar and wind and other renewable resources that will give us infrastructure spending, jobs, and a boost to the economy while also giving us a greener planet? What do you think?
Wow. David's a very emphatic speaker.
He's an emphatic speaker, and it also sounded like he might have been driving a big rig during that.
Something,
like,
right? There was sliding doors, and there was gear shifting. There was a lot going on in that.
So many questions. I love it. Short answer, hopefully. Certainly, he hopes so. The Biden campaign team had a pretty extensive climate plan, and since the election has unveiled a $2 trillion plan to combat climate change that is fairly aggressive, also includes immediately returning to the Paris Accord. Obviously, when it comes to spending, there is only so much a president alone can do, but he also has like 10 executive orders lined up, like ready to go, so that he doesn't necessarily have to get past the giant roadblock that is one Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. For sure. Are you guys talking about this in the tech climate special?
What actually is interesting about this is not specifically, because this tech special is focused a lot on adaptation. And I actually think that that is probably an underexplored part of the Biden climate plan, the idea of resilience and spending on adapting to what we're calling how we survive climate change, because it's here, the extreme effects are being felt. There is a report from the Global Commission on Adaptation, which was formed by Bill Gates and this other guy who was a big deal.
Once you say Bill Gates, I mean, who else do you need?
But they said if we spend $2 trillion on adaptation alone, that we will reap $7 trillion in benefits, because we won't be spending all this money on cleanup and all of that. So I think that could probably be a big part of this plan. One other thing I think is really interesting about the Biden plan is that it does include funding for carbon removal technology. Like, a lot of experts think there's no way we could ever actually reach the goals, even in the Paris Climate Accord, in terms of like stopping warming. That the dirty little secret about those goals is that actually they rely on carbon removal, whether that's planting a trillion trees, doing different agricultural land management, or investing in new technology, like crazy futuristic stuff that just sucks carbon out of the air. And I thought it was very forward looking, actually, that this plan calls for big investments into that.
Yeah, there's a whole.
It is super interesting.
It is super interesting. And all of what Molly said, especially the beginning part where she said, I hope, the catch is there's 11,000 competing priorities for the incoming president. And while, saving the planet is existential, not everybody sees it that way. That's the deal.
I think they've done a good job of making the argument that this is a massive investment in millions of jobs. Creating millions of jobs.
Yep.
Unfortunately, apparently, survival of the human species is not not a strong enough argument for people, even though it's here. But jobs. Yeah. Like, it really, that is really real. So we think so.
Fair enough. Okay, moving on. This one is straight you, pal. Go.
Hi, Kai and Molly. This is Daniel in Seattle, Washington. I was thinking about how Molly started talking about the coronavirus much earlier than anyone else, and I went to go find the original episode. I found it from mid-January, and there are two things I found striking. One is that Molly asked for a hug because she was freaking out, which, in this world of physical distancing, truly resonates. Two, Molly made the horrifyingly accurate prediction that she, quote, fears that we are so mired in partisan politics that we won't be able to amass an effective response. Thank you for making us smart, but I prefer if you were a little bit less accurate. My question to you is that knowing you predicted the situation 10 months ago, where do you think we will be in another 10 months? And knowing that it might come true, could you be a little bit more optimistic in your prediction? Thank you. Wow. Love the show.
That's so funny. I totally remember you. What? Prediction?
I remember talking about it and being like, I did not remember the mired in partisan politics part. Damn. That's disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Wow. It's like future me came back and was like, so here's what's going to happen.
Right. Oh, right.
Biscuits.
All right. So put up or shut up, pal. 10 months from now, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that 10 months from now, you know, whether we deserve it or not, science will have ridden to the rescue. I also think that 10 months from now, a lot, like, that's awful to say because we talked about this once before and I said I'm going to get to the silver lining in the darkest way possible. Like, we know now that in the next few months, a lot of people are going to die that did not need to die. I have been watching the charts of states that were slow to do the mask mandates and finally did. And it is astonishing to see the drop in new cases that you almost have to, you know, attribute directly to that. So I think there will be a dark time ahead and that dark time may, I hope, start to kind of break the spell, actually. Like, mental delusion, I guess, shared mental delusion is kind of like a virus. There's like weird psychological research into
it. Super powerful. Yeah. Yeah.
It is a super powerful and very real thing. And so I'm just going to go ahead and be optimistic. And I don't know if it's so much prediction as hope, but like, I think that we will start to snap out of it and realize as a country that this is real, that it is horrible. I don't know what the reckoning for that is going to start to look like. I think there should be one. And then I can tell you, I am never flying on an airplane without a mask ever again. I felt safe as houses. I was like, why did I ever go out in the world and just be like, guess I'm going to get a virus? Like, we used to just totally do that. Oh, I'm probably going to get sick on this airplane. Oh, hell no. No more. Mm-mm. Masks galore. The dogs like got all worked up about it. They were like, I'm freaking out.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. All right, let's go to this next question from Laura in Boston.
Hi, Make Me Smart crew. I've noticed that this year, a lot of stores have opted to have Black Friday month sales rather than Black Friday week, weekend, or shorter periods of time like in the past. Do you think this is going to be a lasting trend in the future, or is this just in response to COVID and stores having smaller capacities?
I personally think it's going to expand until it takes over the globe. Truly. Black Friday is going to be a week, a month. It's going to be all sales all the time. I was in Italy two Thanksgivings ago, and we were walking like in some little town. It wasn't even like a big place like Rome or Florence or something. We were walking it, and there was a store, department store, that had a Black Friday thing on it. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're in Italy. You don't do Thanksgiving. Thus, you don't have Black Friday. What are you even talking about? I think it's going to take over the world. True.
Yep, I agree. Well, and you have like converging because there's that big, what's the one that Alibaba does? The big Friendship Day one Singles Day.
Yeah.
And then you have, of course, Prime Day. And then Prime you have Day. Black Friday slash Black everything month and always the sales. And
Cyber Monday and blah, blah, blah.
I know the Cyber Monday sales are still going and they're still called Cyber Monday. Yeah. So.
Right.
I guess we just live in a whole world of overstock.com. Like, everything's on sale all the time.
Here comes Adam Smith. The sole end and purpose of all production is consumption. That's what we do in this economy. We consume. Okay. Retail continues to be the theme. Sarah in Maine, ready, go.
I've got two questions about economic indicators for you. Love to hear your thoughts and have you weigh in. First one's Dollar General. I've recently seen in a couple of rural locations some new Dollar Generals that were constructed. The Dollar Generals are fresh construction in areas that aren't really shopping areas. For instance, the side of a state interstate where there's a gas station kitty corner to it. And another indicator I'm wondering about is all the online businesses that are offering to do Afterpay or allow me to say spend $100 on leggings, but then pay for it in $15 installments. And I think to myself, that can't be good.
And lo and behold, it's not. Afterpay. That's such an interesting phraseology.
Wow. That is so, like 1984-esque. Yeah.
That's exactly right. So that's not good, right? People are committing themselves to buy things they can't necessarily afford. Look, this is not a new phenomenon in American economy, right? Committing themselves to buy things they can't necessarily afford on the promise that they won't have to pay for it now. But you eventually do because you have interest payments and service charges and all that stuff. So, you know, that might not be the greatest idea for all people. And, you know, we've talked before in this program about credit card debt and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. On the dollar stores, I don't know. I mean, they really took off after the last recession. And I don't know what they're doing in this recession. But look, if they're being built, there is a market for them, clearly.
Yeah, the dollar stores they are huge. I don't know that they themselves are an economic indicator, but combined, I'm going to re-up a thing that I didn't talk about on the show, but I posted in our Slack at the end of November. The New York Times editorial board did a piece that said, let's talk about higher wages. And I said, let's, because we have often on the show talked about wages and how they don't keep pace and how, unfortunately, increasingly, like, low-paid gig work, you know, Amazon, I think Kimberly Adams made this point earlier. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Amazon and the incredible machine that it has managed to spin up in terms of shipping and logistics. But she said, I wonder if they are also creating, like, a new floor for employment, which is kind of like when you can't do anything else, you can go work for Amazon. But that is not.
Oh, wow.
Amazon is not a company that's, you know, they've increased wages somewhat. But they're not the ones who are going to solve the 40-year stagnation in American wages that cause everybody to need to buy things on credit or at the dollar store. But, you know, by God, keep buying.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because there was this story that was out the other day about Amazon's hiring spree that they've gone on. They've hired something like 400,000 people in this pandemic. And the catch is that they're all making, you know, minimum wage-ish probably, maybe a little bit more, I don't know. But they're hoovering up all the people. Right. And so you have all these people going into these not great paying jobs, which are often really tough jobs in warehouses. They're repetitious. This has been reported well out by ProPublica and others about how, you know, there's performance pressures and extreme deadlines and all of these things that make Amazon maybe not a great place to work. But people are going there because they need a job in the pandemic, you know,
and it pays pretty well. Like, you know, we should be clear. Yeah. It's not like rock bottom wages, but it is a new, you know, and again, I'm stealing Kimberly's point, potentially a new bottom in the labor market, which is like, well, at least it's $17 an hour. That's something. Not going to get you a house anywhere in America.
Yeah.
It's super interesting. Amazon, maybe that would be a good episode. Amazon and wages.
Well, we'd have to figure out. Oh, Amazon and wages or Amazon and everything? I mean, you know, it would have to be like Amazon and the labor market, right?
That would be a year. Right. But Amazon and the labor market, we could maybe do.
Right.
We'll discuss. We'll discuss offline.
We'll discuss. But we're not going to do it today because that is the end of What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. Please keep sending us your questions, your comments. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. Emails welcome. Voice memos preferred. We read and or listen to them all. I promise. I'm not even down there, and they know when to hit the button. It's awesome.
I know. That's how good they are. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ethan Peretz reads all your emails and listens to all your voicemails. Let me be clear. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. I mean, we see a lot of them, to be clear, but it's Ethan. Writes our newsletters and our smart speaker skill.
Garrett Lang was in charge today down in the studios in L.A. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez compose our theme music. Donna Tam is senior producing. Star Nieves is executive directing. Today and always.
God, Afterpay. Yeah, that's just crazy. Like straight up Blade Runner. like to pay now or Afterpay? Yeah. We are our own sci-fi imaginations.
Yeah, for sure.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.